49 years. Praise God, brother. Amen. We had one yesterday, 34 years. I tell people that. I tell people we've been married 34 years, they think I'm telling them Kendra's birthday. She's just 34. I said, no. Any of you that have seen the pictures, I used to look younger. I had a head full of dark hair. It's just changed over time. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. It's good to see you here. Good to hear all this good singing. That was a great song y'all did. And I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord because we can still be in the house of the Lord. We're going to read out of John chapter number 14. Read some of the words of Jesus Christ. Just want to say a couple of things before we get into the message this morning. This past Friday morning, Roe v. Wade was overturned. That's right. And that is a praise for Christianity. Amen. I do want to speak to that before we get into the message. And I want you to know, and I'm not ashamed of this, I want it to be known, I am a pro-life pastor, and this is a pro-life church. Amen. Because we believe that we serve a pro-life God. And we believe that the sanctity of life is extremely important, both in the unborn and the born and those that are aging. And it's important for us to understand that because I believe that the way that we sanctify and the way that we look at life affects everything about what we are and what we do. You know, I heard recently that there were some people who were going to claim religious exemption so that they could override the state laws and get an abortion. Now, I want to tell you, as a pastor, don't come to me asking for that letter. Because as I sit there and I thought about it, I thought, what kind of pastor would write a letter to a church member along those lines stating that it was a religious exemption? Now, folks, I know sometimes people go through very difficult and hard times, and we don't want to overlook that. And if you've been through something in your life and you have experience with that, where I want you to also know we're not judging you, we love you. You know, we got on our sign out here, all are welcome, come as you are. But what we want you to understand, and we're going to get into the Word of God in a minute, is God ain't changed. Amen. God's Word's not changed, and the way that God feels for you, regardless of what you've done or where you've been, He cares for you. Yes. And this church cares for you. But I believe it's important that we stand for the truth and what's right, even in the midst of the times that we're living in. If you got your Bible, let's look at John chapter 14, verse number 6. Very, very familiar scripture. But I'll tell you something that's been on my heart lately. It's like God is just telling me to just preach the truth. Just preach Jesus. You know, in these times that we're living in today, there's so much going on. A lot of times, if you're not careful, you find yourself getting into politics to the extent that it'll drive you absolutely crazy. You can chase conspiracy theories till you have no time to do anything else. And the thing about conspiracy theories are this: some of them are true, some of them are not. Can you change it? What can you change? I remember one time going and having a conversation with my dad. My dad had a lot of wisdom. Didn't have a lot of education because he didn't even finish the eighth grade. He never went to seminary. But I never knew a man that I felt like was in tune with the Spirit and with God more than my dad. Amen. And I remember one time going, sitting on the front porch and talking to him, and there were some things doctrinally that were troubling me. Now, if I were to say the word eschatology, and we were to do a survey around the room, there's probably a likelihood that most of you wouldn't even know what that word means, and that's not a slight towards you. But what it means is the study of end times. I can remember going through a period of time to where in the church there was a split or a confusion or a division about eschatology, the study of end times, and it had to do with this being postmillennial, premillennial, amillennial, or dispensationalist. And if you're a dispensationalist, what do you believe about the end times? And I remember going to my dad and talking to him about that. And I remember going to him and talking to him about some other things that I was troubled about that people were arguing over. And he said, son, I want you to understand something, the way that God has worked in my life. He said, there's been times that I've been through the same thing, and I spent as much as a year one time just praying over a particular subject. And here's what God said to me. He said, just preach Jesus and let the rest of them worry about all that stuff. So if you come to me and you ask me a question and I say, I don't know, or ask Larry Hart, I'm just going to preach Jesus. Amen. Brother Larry, you can tell them you just preach Jesus too if you want to. Here's the facts, folks. None of us know everything. But if we keep our eyes and our focus on God and the things of God, then you're not going to go wrong. Because sometimes people would rather argue about the Bible and things they don't know than to get together and work together and serve God and concentrate on the things that they do know. Do you know that if you never heard another message, you've already heard enough truth preached to you in your life that if you would just apply it, it would do its job? People are always looking for new light and more light. And I'll tell you something just about me, and you can do what you want to do. But the last time I went to the Christian bookstore, I spent $75 on books that I never read. Why? God spoke to me and he said, if you just walk in the light that you already have, it would shine enough light on darkness. You know what the truth is. Will we walk in the truth that God has already given? John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, he's speaking to Philip and he was speaking to the disciples. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Brother Alan Davis has actually got this verse on the wall up at his mission stand. Not ashamed of it. And I tell you, I'm not ashamed to say that I believe in Jesus Christ, to say that I believe he is the only way and the only link between God and man, is Jesus Christ, his son. I tell you, it's the only way that I believe a person will ever get to heaven is going through Jesus Christ. In the day and time that we're living in, what I want to share with you for just a few minutes and preach about is simply this. The truth of Jesus Christ endures. His truth endures, and it will endure forever. Yes. You know, the problem in the day and time that we're living in today is that people struggle with the question, is there such a thing as truth? Is there such a thing as absolute truth? Truth that's true for me, truth that's true for you, and is there anything so true that anyone could stand up and proclaim it as being absolute? And I want you to know that there is. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. So if that's true, then the truth is Jesus. And I want you to also see and understand that if truth is Jesus, there is such a thing in truth as a standard. And there is a truth that is unchanging. That means that it's the same today. It was the same yesterday. And it's always going to be the same. It's going to be unchanged. It's always going to be truth. So what is truth? Well, if we begin to understand that truth is Jesus and truth is something that's absolute, then truth is absolutely true. I want you to understand in our society, in our times today, there is an all-out attack on what you and I as Christians proclaim to be truth. Remember when Jesus was before Pilate and Pilate looked at Jesus and he said, what is truth? People are still doing the same thing today and they're trying to change what the truth might be to line up with their own convictions or thoughts. And as we're dealing today with trying to interpret the Constitution of the United States. Now, the Constitution was written by men. It's not the Word of God. But people look at it and they say, what did they think? What did they mean? What was their intention? They're not sometimes looking at it with the same convictions as the people who wrote it Because in America today, we have people that are interpreting laws that don't have that relationship with God. Amen. And they're having a bent that is going towards something we called secular. And the attack on truth comes from three primary enemies, and one of those is secularization. And I want to tell you what that is. It is a minimization of the religious impact on the world. It is an increase of worldly impact on both the church, where religious ideas, institutions, and interpretations have lost their social significance. And secular simply means pertaining to this world and to this life, not religious or spiritual. Now, I'll tell you, and some of you will understand exactly what I'm talking about. When you turn on primetime TV today, say, oh, is he going to talk about TV? Yeah, just for a minute, okay? Y'all remember, some of you, what it was like when you turned on primetime television and it was black and white. And you'd flip over to the Andy Griffith Show. Now, folks, Andy Griffith Show still today is one of my favorite shows. I can watch it over and over. I might know what they're going to say, but that's okay. What about Father Knows Best? What about shows like Leave It to Beaver? The things that we watched were wholesome, and the things that were allowed to be said on television is very much different than it is today. You know, yesterday my son, Luke, and I, we went up to Harbor Freight in Douglasville. And while we were in there, there was a rap song singing, playing, and it had so much vulgarity in it, it offended me. Yeah. To the extent, sometimes as a Christian, I get so offended that I have to pray to God that I will react the right way. Because you know what I wanted to do was go find the manager and say, where's this radio, and rip the speakers out of the wall because it was offensive. And I said this to my son in the store. I said, how can they play this garbage with any woman or child walking around in this building? And I want to tell you something, folks. You turn on your TV today, whether you like it or not, it's garbage, it's filth talk, and what it is today is different than it used to be, and I'll tell you exactly why. It's because secularization, because what the world sees and accepts has changed so much, because America has drifted farther and farther away from God. So what we used to do to censor. And you say, well, I don't know about censorship. I want you to understand everything is censored. Billboards, radio, television. And the reason it's changed today, the reason it's allowed on the radio, and the reason it's allowed on the television, and the reason it's allowed on billboards is because people have lost their convictions. Yeah. They've drifted away from God, and they've accepted everything to where people talk in front of women and children, trash and garbage, and they don't even blush anymore. They don't even think about it. And as I walked around that store, I couldn't wait to get my stuff and get out. I thought, these people don't even have a conviction about what's going on. You see, it's secularization in the world to where the world is becoming so far and far away from God that the church ought to be standing up today saying, praise God that we have Supreme Court justices that have a conviction about them that'll overturn Roe v. Wade and turn it back to the states to where in a state like Georgia and Alabama and Texas, there's enough people that still vote the right way that we can say, we believe in the sanctity of life. What about pluralization? I'll try to say that right. And here's what pluralization is where there is a competing number of worldviews to its followers, but no one worldview is dominant. Now, here's the problem with that today. We live in a society where people want their views and their opinions to be brought to the forefront. What are you talking about? I'm talking about everything that should still be in the closet coming out of the closet. And when they come out of the closet, they say, we just want our rights. And I want to remind you something. The Laodicean church age, which is the seventh church in the seven church ages, the word Laodicea means civil rights. We're living in the Laodicean church age. Well, people come out and they want their rights and they want their equal rights and they want to be treated right. Well, we're going to be able to treat everybody right. God said you have a choice. You don't have to choose to follow God. You don't have to choose to be a Christian. You don't have to choose to believe the Bible. But here's the problem with pluralization. It's not enough for them to have their rights and for them to do their thing. They want you to accept it, and they want to teach it to your children in a classroom setting from the age of kindergarten on up and tell them to explore it. I want you to understand something. You and I as Christians and as parents of children trying to raise them, we have rights that are more important than that. And what pluralization is we're going to line every God up on the God shelf. If you've ever been involved with old-style martial arts, you know what a god shelf is. Because when they would bow, they bow to the god shelf. And the god shelf has the different talismans or the different artifacts on it, like a Buddha doll or the different things that people worship around the world. And what the world wants you to believe and have you accept is if when we pray in public, we're going to pray to this god, we're going to pray to that god, we're going to pray to that god, because after all, Jesus is just another god. But here's where we're at in America today. The only thing that's acceptable for persecution is a white male Christian that still believes in the word of God. Because I want to tell you something today, God's not changed. He's not going to change, and it's wrong for persecution to be rising up the way that it is, because if you believe the Bible, you're a threat. It's not just if you go to church. You see, pluralization is competing number of worldviews, and that's where we're at today. It's taught in Christian campuses or school campuses and college campuses to where Christianity is being persecuted against, even in America, more than any other place. What about privatization? It is a separation to self where you become your own God and your own purpose. Now, we talk about humanism in the past, but basically it's where a person says, if I believe it's true, then it's true. And they say, I just don't care what anybody thinks. I want you to understand something, folks. I care what God thinks. And I want God to be pleased with me and my life. And when I look at the world and the condition of the world today, what troubles me about it is because if God looks at us and the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, shouldn't it concern us when we see America drifting farther away from God? Well, if that's true, shouldn't it cause us to celebrate when we win a victory, when Christians can stand up and say, praise God? You know, truth is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the truth. The word is truth and the word is Jesus. And in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, the Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And the word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, if we're going to open God's word and read what Jesus said, we're either going to accept him as truth, and he is God, and he is the only God, or, folks, you might as well just throw him out completely. You can't put him on a shelf with every other God and look at it as an equal or opposing view. Jesus Christ is either the Son of God, or he was an absolute lunatic. I choose based on what I understand and believe by the movement of the Holy Spirit, knowing that God lives in me. Have you ever talked to anybody and they say, well, how do you know there's a God? And you say, well, he lives in me. And they say, well, he don't live in me. He should. You see, when I got saved, yes, I heard preaching, but it was the Holy Spirit that convicted me. And I can remember sitting on the second bench on this side, right behind where Luke's at, that empty chair. And when the preacher preached the word of God, it was like someone hit me in the face with a glass of cold ice water. Amen, brother. When the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, that preacher is talking to you. If you're saved, many of you probably remember that experience. So why do we believe that there's a God? Because he spoke to us. Because he lives in us. Because we know that he's real. So truth is Jesus. And I also believe, and I want you to see, that truth is a standard. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 22, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people." If you study the Old Testament and you study the children of Israel, the people of God, what you find is when they walk with the Lord, just like it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 8, he said, "If you'll walk with me, I will bless you." God did bless them. He blessed their farms. He blessed their fields. He blessed their families. He blessed them that they did not have any enemies that could come in upon them as long as they were walking with God. But what happened to the children of Israel when they drifted away from God? It wasn't very much from a lot of what people are doing today. You know, they used to actually take and choose a wood that would not rot. They would overlay it with gold. They would assign the attributes to that God that they wanted that God to have. And they would pray to something that they made from their own hands to help them, to help their crops and to help their fields. Even to the point that they even pulled something called a grove, which was a tree, and they would decorate the tree, and they would hang the different elements of the religion on the tree. And you've heard the term knock on wood. They would go and knock on the tree. That's where it came from. To wake up the evil spirits so that they would hear them and bless them. Then Dagon was a god that they served, and as they worshiped Dagon, the altar was actually built like this. It was a god that they had made out of stone that had arms, and they would actually go to Dagon, and they would take their small children, and they would lay them on the arms of Dagon, and they would beat drums to drown out the voices of the children. You say, well, that's graphic. If you think that's graphic, you ought to look up a third trimester abortion on the internet and find out what graphic is. We've closed our eyes in America today to the truth. We don't want to hear the truth. We don't want the things of God. Until now, here's my fear. I don't want the judgment of God on America. Amen. So I want to see America continue to believe and see there is a standard. That God's word says there's a standard. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 10 says, go through the gates and prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway and gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. You see, when the children of Israel, they would worship false gods and they got away from God, then you can study in God's word. Where in 70 AD, Titus overran the city. The people went into captivity for almost 2,000 years. God's people, the children of Israel. And then in 1948, God brought them all back together. I'm going to tell you what that means, folks. That means we're getting close to the end. We're getting close to the time that the Lord's going to come back. He didn't preserve them for 2,000 years and bring things exactly back together so that the Bible could be fulfilled in Scripture exactly the way that it said it would for no reason. He did it because he's God. And he did it because his plan is going to be carried out. And I want to tell you, he did it because he's truth. Because there's a standard. You see, in the world today, I want you to understand that everything is not truth. And truth is not random. Have you ever heard the saying, and this is what some people believe, what's true to you is true, and what's not true to you is not true. I wish it was that way. I was at work one day not long ago, and I was walking down the hall, and I said, all this is not real. I'm not really here. I really don't have to go to that meeting in a couple of hours. And then I thought, that really doesn't work, does it? You see, there is truth. It's not random. But truth has opposition. If truth has opposition, then we must remember the enemy. You know, in the world today, it seems okay even, and I experienced this on a college campus. I didn't go to secular college until I was 35 years old. And I remember being in a public speaking class, and I couldn't wait for my turn. But there was a girl who got up in college and she presented her speech on Wiccan. Wiccan is witchcraft. It's a form of Satanism. And she was just a bubbly little blonde-headed girl that got up and did her speech, and she began to talk about it. And people were interested, and they were listening. Of course, I got up, and I poured it on them. And I talked about creation versus evolution and how that there was a God, and we didn't come from nothing. Can I tell you that in that classroom, what she had to say was more accepted than what I had to say? Now, here's what I want to ask you, folks, and you can ask the next person you run into that's involved with Wiccan or Satanism this. Where did Satan come from? Where did he come from? He was created by God. God created him. All right, they're going to have to get a hold of something. Where did he come from? He was created by God. He rebelled against God. Here's the next question. Where's he going? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bottomless pit, lake of fire, tormented forever. Doesn't the Bible say in the gospel that hell was created specifically for the devil and his angels? You can't believe in Satan without acknowledging that there's a God. You see, truth has opposition. Truth is not random. Truth is not a lie. Truth is Jesus Christ. And he has not changed, and he does have a standard. Yeah. Psalms 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." You see, God's word has not changed. God's character has not changed. And we're here today. It is June 26, 2022. I did pretty good to get, I think I got that right. Had to, because yesterday was my anniversary. Why is that significant? Because April 30th, 2006, my dad went home to be with the Lord. If I go back in years and I can start checking them off, the men of God in my life that are no longer here. The man who was preaching the night I got saved, a revival at Welcome Home Baptist Church. My wife and I were watching just a few minutes of Fireproof this week. And there's a scene where, you know, Kurt Cameron and his wife come out and they get in the car and God's worked in his life and they're going to church. And there's a man sitting over in a swing with his wife. That man sitting in that swing is a preacher. His name is Bill Stafford. Bill Stafford's gone to be with the Lord. If I were to go down the list, folks, I want to tell you, I know more preachers right now in heaven than I do that are willing to stand and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is that significant? Because these words that I'm holding in front of you today, they read exactly the way that they read in 2006. They read exactly the way they read in 1960. They read exactly the way that they read during World War II when churches would leave the doors open so that mamas could come in and pray for their sons and daddies could come by after working and pray for their sons. God has not changed. 1985. I was working on a building out near Perimeter Mall. It was a church. It was a church that believed in pluralization. And as I worked on that church, I met a man that was volunteering his time. He was a member of the church. And we started having a conversation, and I was only 17, 18 years old. But I remember talking to him. And we got to talking about God, serving God. I like to talk about God. You want to get me excited? I mean, I know I'm pretty quiet. Bring up God. You can bring up hunting. I like to talk about hunting. You can bring up old cars. But mostly the Lord. So we started talking about the Lord, and we struck up a conversation, and I said something about God. And he said, you know, Jesus didn't walk in 1985. There's a lot of things changed.
There's a lot of things in the Bible that are outdated. Aren't we hearing that today? Folks, I want you to understand something about truth. Truth does not change. God has not changed. Jesus has not changed. And the Word of God has not lost its relevance or its significance because God does not change. Now, here's why that's important. If God changes, is He going to change the way that He looks at you and me? That's what I would be afraid of. I can change. I have changed. And sometimes when I look at my relationship with my wife after these years and my relationship with my children and my relationship with the church, I just want to make sure that my change is in the right direction. Because I do change. But could you imagine if God were not immutable? That means incapable of change, what it would be like. But it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3 and verse number 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. If you go to Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18, it says, it is impossible for God to lie. The reason that it's very important for us to believe, to want, to desire, to understand that truth has not changed is God has spoken something for you and me that's very, very significant. You know, Brother Tom, as you were playing the video the other night, and I was looking at some of the people, and I saw Brother Jimmy Beal at a younger age. He was there dancing a slow dance with Miss Patricia. And I saw you and Miss Betty. And I saw Miss Martha was with Brother Quinn. And I began to look at those people and the people that have done gone on to be with the Lord. And you know, it was a fun time and it was something that they were enjoying. I couldn't help but sit there with my mind as a preacher. I really, just to be honest with you, wanted to get up and preach for about 5 minutes. And here's what I wanted to tell you. This is why truth endures. This is why it's important. Christians, this is why we got to keep standing. This is why we got to keep holding up the standard. Is God's got something great in store for you. You see, I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to see my loved ones. And I'm going to see all those people in my life that so impacted my life. You know, the Bible talks about them in the book of Hebrews, and I believe this is a lot of the way the saints of God are. It says, those of whom the world was not worthy. You know, what I've shared with you this morning, my convictions, it's extremely unpopular in the day and time that we're living in. It's unpopular to have the beliefs that I have, the convictions that I have. It's unpopular to tell the world that you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way you're going to get to heaven and you believe what the Bible says. It's unpopular to say that I believe in prayer and I believe that God even answers prayer. But I can also say I believe I'm going to heaven. And I believe I'm going, not because I've been good or anything that I've done, but I believe I'm going because of what God did for me. Amen. And here's what's good about it, and here's what I want to share with you, and I'm just about done, is anybody can go. Anybody. Amen. You know, anything you've done, even if you've got something in your life that, you know, and I believe this is true of, I would say, every person here. There's something you're ashamed of. Something you don't want everybody in this church to know about, everybody's got it. Here's what I want you to understand. God already knows about it. And He loves you just like you're just a little baby. Because when you come to Him and you surrender to Him, He takes all that sin and He washes it. He puts it behind His back as far as the east is from the west. In one place, it likens it and taking it and dropping it into the depths of the sea. The reason that's significant, and the reason I believe it'll be significant, is we know more about outer space than we do the sea. God said He don't remember it because He don't want to. Because He loves you that much. And when we're dealing with the world and we're standing for the truth that we believe in, folks, I want you to keep that in mind. Even the people that say, well, you know, I'm a Satanist, but I don't really worship Satan. They need Jesus. You know what the world needs today? It needs Jesus. You know what the politicians need? Jesus. You know what the people writing the programs that are on TV today? They need Jesus. You know what our children need? They need Jesus. And here's what I want you to understand. He's still the same. He still cares for you. And anything at all, and I'm going to ask him to play the song, anything at all that you bring to him, at all, while you can, he will cover it.
Absolutely. Amen.
But you got to bring it. If you say, I don't believe or I don't want him, you're not going to have him. Because you can choose, but anything you bring, he'll cover it. Would you please stand with us as they play this song? If God spoke to your heart, you'd like to come and pray for any reason. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, you can know him. If there's anything you want to pray about, God loves you and he hears you. And while God's speaking to you, that's the very best time to move. Would you please come?